left off in the middle of the Akedah that they went together, Rabbi Dov Ber, the Maggid of Mizrich, who was the heir to the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement. So his successor, he wouldn't just accept any students. There were many people who tried to become his students, but he wouldn't accept them. They weren't on the high level. He accepted the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, and others of his caliber he accepted. But they chose to remain in Mizrich, and they were happy to help out, to heat the ovens, to service the students who didn't merit to be taken into the inner group. And Alter Rebbe once said that they were great people. Those who were rejected or didn't make it, but they themselves were great people. And he told the story, he says, once at night they were sleeping in the synagogue, and those who were rejected were busy heating the ovens. And while they were heating the fireplace, putting wood in the fireplace, they had a discussion amongst themselves. And Alter Rebbe was like falling asleep, but he overheard the discussion. They were discussing the Akedah. And they were wondering, what's the great deal? Why do we make such a big deal of the Akedah? Every morning, 365 days a year, Yom Kippur, Shabbos, holiday, and a regular weekday morning, we wake up in the morning, and we can't get over the story of Avraham. 3,800 years later, we're still astonished, astounded by his dedication, his devotion. And they asked, what's the big deal? So many Jews throughout history who martyred themselves, who gave up their lives for their Jewishness, for their Judaism, would rather die, would rather be burnt alive than bow down to the cross or deny their Jewishness. And they were never commanded by Hashem. They just did it on their own. Here Avram was commanded directly from Hashem. What's the big deal? Why do we make such a big deal of this? So one of them answered, he said, listen, okay, for us it's no big deal because we inherited this from Avram. Avram was the first. He was the pioneer, like we discussed earlier. The other one says, nah, I don't buy that answer. After all, Hashem spoke to him directly. I mean, what's the big deal? If God would speak to you directly, I mean, you wouldn't be ready to do whatever Hashem is asking of you. The other one said, it was the quickness. Avram did it with such joy. You would think Hashem is telling him to offer his son, his only son from Sarah, born to him, he was 100 years old. I mean, this is the pride of his eye. This is the apple of his eye. Hashem never gave him a date. Why didn't he take a few days, enjoy his son, knowing that this is it, this is the last opportunity? And then they'll take him and do the Akedah. Hashem never told him, take him now. He says, this is what I want you to do. Instead, Avraham Avinu jumped out of bed, woke up in the morning at the crack of dawn, and he himself saddled a donkey. He did it with joy. There was no heaviness. There was no heavy heart. He did it with joy. He's doing a mitzvah. This is what Hashem asked of him. And the other one said, nah, I'm not impressed with that answer. He says, if it was me, if Hashem would command me, I wouldn't even wait till dawn. I would go in the middle of the night, I would jump out of bed and do it immediately. If Hashem is speaking to me. And he answered the question. He says, the reason why this is so great, because it says after the Akedah, when Hashem told him, don't touch Yitzchak, Hashem says, I know, v'lechasachtas bincha sichidcha mimeni. You did not deny your son from me. You were ready to offer your son. So he should have said, you did not hold back your son, your only son. Why did he say, me many from me? Hashem was saying that Avram wasn't like, oh, thank God, I don't have to offer Yitzchak. Like he was relieved. I dodged a bullet. No. He was joyful because this was a commandment from Hashem. Just like Hashem commanded him and told him, offer your son. Then when Hashem told him, don't offer your son, he was joyful because he was fulfilling a divine commandment. Not because he was personally relieved, and his intention was pure, both at the beginning and at the end. It was purely because he was totally joyful because this is the will of Hashem. Alter Rebbe said, each and every one of them spoke their truth. Each and every one of them was describing whatever level they were at. So we left off in the middle that Avram tells Yitzchak that if there's no sheep, then you are going to be the sacrifice. And they went together wholeheartedly. They were on the same page. It says that the Satan, this all happened in Rosh Hashanah, by the way. The Satan tried to create obstacles in their path. Suddenly there was water, a river, a lake, and Avram just walked right through the river like the splitting of the sea. And when it reached his lips, the river parted. All sorts of obstacles. And then the Satan sees he's not getting anywhere with Abraham, with Avram. So he goes to Yitzchak. He sidles up to Yitzchak. And he tells Yitzchak, listen, I mean, your father is a very holy, holy person. But let's face it, he's 137. And, you know, obviously he has early Alzheimer's. Taking his son, I mean, come on. And Yitzchak says, no, my father is a prophet. Prophecy is 100%. Prophet is not 99.9%. The prophet is certain that Hashem is speaking to him. So much so that he's ready to take such a drastic action. So if he tells me that this is what Hashem wants, and this is what Hashem said, I'm ready. They walk together. And finally, when they overcame all the obstacles, nothing could stop them, nothing could stop their inner determination to fulfill the divine will. Because when you want to do the right thing, it's difficult to do the right thing. There are going to be difficulties, but it's a test. It's just testing our resolve. Because if you live your life, that you make a resolve that I am going to do something good, then you don't let anything stand in your way. You just get it done. And you make it happen, and it happens. It turns out that it was all an illusion. All the supposed obstacles and difficulties, they were imaginary. It was a mirage. It was just a test, to test our strength and test our resolve. So they were determined together, they were determined, and they arrived. So we're up to in the middle of the story of the Akedah. They came to the place that Hashem told them. Avram built the altar. And he organized the wood. He arranged the wood on top of the altar. And he tied the hands of his son. A hand to a foot and a hand to a foot. This actually was Yitzchak's suggestion. Even though Yitzchak was ready to be offered as a sacrifice, but he told his father he's afraid that out of instinct, he's going to stop his father. You know, instinct, when someone puts a knife at you, your hand just rises up to protect yourself. So he asked his father, please tie me. And he tied him. And he put him on top of the altar, on top of the wood.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Why does Avram call Yitzchak a lad? He's like a young boy. He was 37, wasn't he?
Yeah, but when you're 137, 37, is a little boychik. And Vayishlach Avram is Yaday. Avram sent his hand. One of the Polish Hasidic masters once said, why did Avram have to send his hand? Because the patriarchs were like a chariot to Hashem. A chariot is completely egoless. A chariot goes wherever you want him to go. Wherever you drive the car, that's where the car goes. The car is not religious. The car doesn't obey you. The car is a tool in your hand. It does whatever you want. The patriarchs were like a chariot to Hashem. Every organ of their body, every fiber of their being, every part of them was so tuned in with the will of Hashem that automatically, whatever Hashem wanted, their body just did. Now, Hashem never wanted Avram to actually touch Yitzchak, to lay a finger on Yitzchak. So that's why his hand didn't automatically he had to send his hand, force his hand. Because his hand was so tuned in with the will of Hashem that this is not what Hashem wanted. But he forced his hand. Vayishlach es yadei. This was his commandment. So he went and sent his hand. Vayikach es hamacheles. And he took the knife. Lishchot es benoi. Lishchot. It doesn't say to slaughter his son, to kill his son, God forbid. It says lishchot. Lishchot. Shchita is ritual slaughter. We call it shchita. What's the difference between butchering and shechita? Shechita is not just to destroy the animal, to kill the animal. The point and purpose of shechita, of a ritual slaughter, of a kosher slaughtering, which makes the animal kosher to eat, is precisely that. It's the act of shechita that elevates the animal, that enables us to eat the animal. And that's why the shochet, unlike in the butchers, usually you go into the into these schlachthuses, into these slaughterhouses. It's called a slaughterhouse. The people working there are not exactly the highest caliber of people. A shochet has to be a scholar, a God-fearing Jew, a refined Jew. And he spends his life shechting the animal because it's not about slaughtering. It's about elevating the animal, enabling it, making it kosher, enabling us to eat it. And then when we eat it, when a Jew eats it, and he makes a blessing, and he thinks about Hashem, and he takes that energy and that strength that he gets from that kosher meat, and he uses it to serve Hashem, to pray, to learn Torah, to do a mitzvah, to do an act of goodness and kindness, tzedakah, then you elevate the animal. The purpose is elevation. So the purpose here was to offer Yitzchak as a sacrifice to Hashem. It's not Hashem told him to punish Isaac. And that's why he didn't put up a fight. When Hashem told Avram that he wants to punish Sodom and Gomorrah, Avram put up a fight. He wrestled with God. He argued with God. He handled with God, trying to find a bargain. But here, Hashem wasn't telling him, I'm punishing Yitzchak. On the contrary, I want you to elevate Yisrael. I want to offer him as a sacrifice, to elevate him. And that's why this is a mitzvah. Hashem gave him a mitzvah to offer Yitzchak as a sacrifice. And Yitzchak willingly agreed, even though he didn't hear it from Hashem. He heard it from his father. If this is what Hashem wants, then I'm ready. So he sent his hand and he took the knife and he was about to shecht, this ritual slaughter, to shecht Yitzchak. An angel calls out from heaven. And he said, Avram, Avram, twice. Avram, Avram. Why did he call out his name twice? On a simple level, because he was about to touch Yitzchak. So he quickly called him, Avram, Avram, please, stop. Don't go another inch. He was like an inch away from his throat. So Avram, Avram, stop. The Ramban says he called Avram Avram because of his love for him. At that moment that Avram withstood the test, the 10th and ultimate and final test, Avram became so beloved to Hashem. So out of love, Hashem called him twice. Avram, when you love someone, you love saying the name. He said the name twice. Avram Avram, my beloved Avram, my beloved Abraham. Now, in the Torah, between Avram and Avram, you also find in the prayer book, there's a line. There's a line separating. The only other one we find in the Torah whose name is mentioned twice is Moshe, Moshe. But there's no line separating between Moshe and Moshe. Here, there's a line separating between Avram and Avram. Because Avram represents kindness. But there's a difference between the level of kindness in the divine world of emanation, and then the way that kindness manifests itself in our world. So even though it's an expression of that kindness, but nevertheless, there's no real comparison between the kindness in its source and the kindness, the way it's expressed and manifests in the physical world. So there's a separation. He says, yes, here I am. And he says, Al tishlach yodcha l'nar, don't send your hand to the young one. Val tas le'muma, don't do anything to him. Ki ata yadaiti, now I know, ki yirei l'kimata, now I know that you fear God. V'lechasachta as binchas yichidcha meni, you have not withheld your son from me. And this verse is very troubling or difficult. He should have just said, Al tishlach yodcha l'nar, don't. Stop. Don't send your hand. Don't touch your son. Period. Why does he add? And don't do anything to him. And then he gives a whole explanation. Because now I know that you fear God. Firstly, Avram needs an explanation. Don't touch my son. Okay, I won't touch my son. Thank God I don't have to touch my son. I mean, just like Hashem commanded him to offer his son as a sacrifice, and it was a commandment, and he did it with joy. So when Hashem told him, don't touch your son, It's a commandment, and I'm doing it with joy. Fine, I don't need to hear anything else. Hashem has to argue with him. Explain to him, give him long explanations. The reason why I'm telling you not to touch your son is because now I know that you fear God. Because you didn't hold back your son from me. Hashem has to argue with Avram. What Avram wanted, he wanted to go through with this. That Hashem had to explain why he's telling him, no, it's okay, you don't have to touch him. And this is such a simple and obvious question, this bothered Rashi, the ultimate commentary in the Torah. So Rashi explains that there's a whole dialogue here. There's a whole dialogue that happened here, which would explain what's going on here, why the verse, why this lengthy conversation. When the angel told Avram not to touch Isaac, what did Avram think? Avram thought that maybe he failed the test. Yes, he was ready to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. But the real test, like we discussed last week, the real test was, would Avram think twice? Would Avram think and question Hashem in his mind? Because really it made no sense. Here Hashem told him, promised him that you're going to have children and you're going to be a father of a nation, a father of a nation of the Jewish people. And miraculously Hashem gave him a son at the ripe age of 100 years old and to a 90-year-old mother. And now suddenly Hashem is telling him, offer your son as a sacrifice. So he would be undoing with his own hands, be undoing everything he built, he created for no reason, no purpose. And that would be the end of it. There's no ear. There's no future. This is the end. And yet Avram didn't think twice. Didn't make any sense to him. But you don't think, if this is what Hashem wants, who am I to think? I do understand. I don't understand. I'm a simple servant. Whatever Hashem wants, God is infinite. God is totally beyond my comprehension. Whatever Hashem wants, I'm happy to fulfill and obey and fulfill his wish and fulfill his commandment. Suddenly, the angel, he's about to fulfill this commandment. The angel says, in the name of Hashem, he's just a messenger. It's really Hashem speaking through the angel. Suddenly, Hashem, he gets a message. Hashem says, stop. See, Avram thought to himself, maybe I didn't pass the test. I'm not worthy. So he suggests, I shouldn't come here for nothing. Let me just prick my son. At least I'll get a drop of blood. At least I'll do something. So the angel says, in the name of Hashem, no, al tas le muma, don't touch him. Not even a prick of blood, not even a nick. Don't even nick him. Don't come close to him with a knife. Don't touch him. So Avram Avinu thought that the reason why Hashem even rejected that suggestion, because it's an acknowledgement from Avram that he failed. Avram is acknowledging that he did not withstand the test, and therefore Hashem is not accepting. He said, I don't want anything from you. You're a failure. But that's not what Avram was thinking. Avram was thinking, Avram had a different thought. Avram said, argued back, please let me nick my son. So I'll just get a drop of blood. Why? Why am I insisting after you told me no? Because it's not an admission of failure. On the contrary, now I can reconcile this contradiction. Now it makes sense. I'm not thinking about Hashem. I'm not, God forbid, second-guessing Hashem. I have full faith in Hashem. And to me, it made no sense. I couldn't understand it. How is it possible to reconcile God's promise that I'm going to have an ear, and I'm going to be a father unto a nation, and children as many as the stars, as many as the sand on the beach, and the earth? And now all of a sudden you're telling me to offer my son as a sacrifice. So it didn't make sense to me, but I accepted it. If this is what Hashem wants, I'm not even going to think, second guess Hashem. But now that you tell me that you don't want me to touch my son, so I'm thinking maybe what you meant is, you never meant that I should offer my son as a sacrifice. You just meant that I should put him in the altar and just nick him with a drop of blood, just nick him. So he'll remain alive. All Hashem's promises and oaths to Avram will be fulfilled. He will be the ear. And I also fulfill the commandment to offer him as a sacrifice, and just in the sense of just nicking him or just taking a little blood out of him. So why are you not allowing me to even nick him and to take a little blood? So that's why he continues. The angel explains, no, you don't understand. You didn't fail. You did not fail. It's not, God forbid, that I'm stopping you because you did anything wrong. You pass with flying colors. Not only were you ready to offer Yitzchak as a sacrifice, but you were ready to do Hashem's commandment joyfully, without any heaviness in your heart, and you didn't even think, second guess God, you didn't think twice. So you were perfect. Everything here is perfect. So that's why Hashem says, no, I know that you're God-fearing. You did not hold back your son from me. But the reason why I'm not even letting you to even nick your son, to take a drop of blood from him, is because it's no contradiction. I promised you that you're going to have an ear. But what did I ask you to do? I said, listen carefully to the words. I said, Valeyu Shamli Oila, lift him up. Put him on the altar. Which you did. You fulfilled my wish. I never told you to do anything. I just told you, put him on the altar. And you put him on the altar.
Rabbi, why does Hashem have to give him a reason for what he did or did not say to do? Isn't it enough just that Hashem said, don't touch him now? Why does it need a reason as to why?
Right.
That's what he said.
Right.
And that's what you do.
Because Avram wasn't, it's not that Avram had any doubts and he was angry at Hashem and he was trying. No, Avram was trying to fulfill Hashem's wish. So in his mind, he thought that the way to reconcile the contradiction between what Hashem told him earlier, what Hashem is telling him now, what Hashem told him now, he says, maybe we can reconcile this by that I should do something with Yitzchak. Not, God forbid, offer him as a sacrifice, but nick him, take a drop of blood, so at least it's something. And like this, it won't be a contradiction. Will your promises, both of Hashem's promises and his commandment, make sense? He was asking. He was trying to fulfill Hashem's wish. So he was asking, let's do this, and then it's the best of both worlds. We have everything. So Hashem explained to him, no, there is no conflict. There's no contradiction. And mission accomplished, 100%. You don't have to nick him, you don't have to do anything. All I told you is to put him on the altar. Now that you put him on the altar, I'm asking you, just remove him from the altar. That's all. It's not he was explaining to Avram, and Avram had doubts, and Avram was second-guessing. To Avram, initially, it sounded like a failure on his part. Something went wrong here. What went wrong? He looked at it like, what went wrong here? I don't understand. Hashem is telling me, and then all of a sudden, he's stopping me. That means something went wrong here. And it's my fault. The fault is not Hashem. It's my fault. So he's racking his brain. What went wrong? So first he thought, maybe what's wrong is that I failed. Because internally I did have doubts. I thought I didn't have doubts, but Hashem knows me better than I know myself. Hashem knows my thoughts, my innermost thoughts. And Hashem saw that internally I have doubts. So Hashem says, okay, that's it. You failed. So he said, okay, at least let me make a prick. When he said I shouldn't even make a prick, he says, why not? So he says, Avram thought, you know, maybe I didn't fail, but maybe we can fulfill both commandments of Hashem. Maybe it wasn't a failure, because this is what Hashem wants. Hashem wants. Only wanted initially that I should prick him, and that's all. And like this, and that's exactly what I'm ready to do. So let me at least do that. So it's not a failure. Then we fulfill what Hashem wanted, and it's a success. So Hashem says, no, it's already a success. You don't have to nick him. You don't have to do anything. It's already a smashing success. Because now you've proven that you fear me, and you did not deny your son from me. The ultimate test, your beloved son, the kind Avraham, your beloved son, and to take and to do what I asked you to do, no fanfare, no publicity, no rhyme, no reason. It goes contrary to everything you've done and built all your life, and yet you were ready to do it without any hesitation, and you were ready to do it joyfully. Hashem says it's a success. Hashem is explaining to Avram, it's already a success, you don't have to do anything. Avram is looking, let me do something. You don't have to, it's a smashing success. Don't nick him, don't touch him. It's beautiful. So that's on a simple level. Now we understand the verse, this whole dialogue. Now Hashem says, now I know that you fear God, which explains why this is a test of Avram. Why is it a test of Yitzchak? Yitzchak, after all, was the one who was going to be offered. Okay, you can say it's more difficult for a parent to do anything to a child than it is for a person to do to themselves. So Yitzchak was ready to sacrifice himself. Avram was also ready to sacrifice. The very first test, he was thrown into the fire for his beliefs. But to touch your son, your beloved son, for a parent, this is the ultimate test. Fine. But it should also be a test for Yitzchak. But the reason why this is a test of Avram is because Avram epitomized love and kindness. This was the essence of Avram. Yitzchak epitomized sacrifice, heroic self-sacrifice, intensity, awe of Hashem, fear of Hashem. So this was really a test for Avram. Avram, all his life, only demonstrated his love for Hashem. His constant love for Hashem and his love for people, which was an expression of his love for Hashem. His love for all of Hashem's creations and creatures and people. And he opened his home and opened his tent and was generous. It was a fountain of love, of giving, of kindness, of hospitality. This was his way of serving Hashem. He was like a sun, radiating with love and kindness and goodness. Now all of a sudden, at the age of 137, Hashem is asking Avram to do something which is the exact opposite. The ultimate strength, stern, harsh, take this life of your son and to offer your son as a sacrifice. Avram couldn't hurt a fly. And all of a sudden, Hashem is asking him to demonstrate the exact opposite trait. And Avram was ready. In a heartbeat. Suddenly Avram shifted modes and all of a sudden he became gevurah. He became strong. And so Hashem says, now I know that you fear me. He doesn't say, now I know that you love me. Now I know, ki yirei elokimat, that all this time, all the love that you had, it's not only because by nature you're loving and kind. Jews by nature are kind. Jews by nature are liberal. We're kind, we're compassionate, we're giving, we're loving. But it's not just out of your nature, out of the kindness of your heart, because of your nature. Our nature dictates that we behave a certain way. No, that it's godly. Because a person who's kind is always kind. If you just do it because it's natural, then you're always kind. Sometimes, many times it's appropriate, sometimes it's inappropriate. You don't know how to be any other way. That kind person could end up being a pacifist. When, for example, when the time calls for ferociousness and you have to become a warrior. But the person who's kind, he's too kind. You can't shift, you can't change, you can't get out of your box. A person who's tough is always tough. They don't know how to switch or change. There's no flexibility. There are animals who are kind, there are animals who are tough, and they are stuck, and they're always that way. They never change. So when a human being is just acting as an animal, and it can even be a good traits, positive traits, but it's still animalistic. You're just doing it because it's your nature. It's your nature. You just love being kind. You love being loving and giving. But there are times when it's inappropriate and you're just not equipped. You just can't deal with it because that's not your nature. You don't have the flexibility to express yourself any other way. But Avram, his liberalism, his kindness, his generosity wasn't dictated by his nature. It was dictated from a deep truth, a profound truth, a recognition of Hashem. Because Hashem is loving and kind and giving, and that's why we in turn also, by being connected with Hashem, we also become godly and giving and kind and generous, a fountain of generosity, of goodness, of loving and giving, just like Hashem creates us and sustains us. So because it's godly, so when it's demanded, when Hashem demands of us to be the exact opposite, to be tough, strong, severe, stern, even harsh, I'm ready. Whatever Hashem wants. It's not about me. It's not about ego. It's not about my ego nature, my animal nature, my ego nature, my personality, my character. It's about Hashem. So if this is what Hashem wants at this moment, then I'm ready.